Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast, border to border, around the world, on the American Forces Radio Network as well. We're quite happy now to be joined by Mike Leach, the head football coach at Washington State University, and, of course, made a big name for himself at Texas Tech. And, Mike, I was at the Holiday Bowl when it was Aaron Rodgers' last game at Cal, and they were all upset because they thought they should have gone to the Rose Bowl instead of Texas, and they kind of thought, oh, we got to play this Texas Tech team. And then he's a guy named Sonny Cumbie throwing the ball all over the place. And that, to me, was when I really started paying attention to what you were doing there offensively. What did that victory mean in the Holiday Bowl for you?
It's a big win for us, no question, especially when you look at the quality of that Cal team. you know, they have Aaron Rodgers, arguably the best quarterback in the league right now, or certainly one of them. Then they had Marshawn Lynch, one of the greatest running backs, a bunch of defensive players. I mean, this was a team that was pumping a whole bunch of people in the league, you know, not just a punter or a kicker or something. And so it was very impressive. And, you know, it was a great win for us. You know, we had a big day. We threw for about 420 yards and you know, met a lot to our players. And that's one thing I was most proud of. You know, my teams, play hard and see what happens. And, you know, that was a pretty good example of that.
Well, Mike, you know, you're known for your offense. You like to throw the ball around. That's an understatement. And what you had Connor Halliday did in your offense in Pullman last year was very impressive, especially when you think about some of the great quarterbacks Wazoo's had over the years. But when you draw up your X's and O's offensively, I know you like Jackson Pollock. Does it sometimes look like a Jackson Pollock painting?
You know, I've never heard that. And that is an interesting point because I really like Jackson Pollock. And I've actually done kind of I had a class on abstract expressionism, as you bring up the subject. And we got interested to the point where I did an abstract expressionist painting there on the front lawn of my apartment at in Valdosta. And I mean, to the point where the neighbor kids would even take an interest, and I let them put a little paint on it, providing they put it exactly where I told them in the fashion I told them. And then it turned out very good, I thought, and the teacher actually hung it in her gallery thing for some time. And so that yeah, I do. And then he was pretty free form and trying to figure out a way to always talked about space. I never thought about this, but the most important thing, and I'm certainly not Jackson Pollock in any direction, but you know, we talk about space all the time. I mean, that's what we talk about all the time is space. How do we create space? The biggest thing an offense does is create space. Okay, we got to get it to everybody in order to create space. We want as many moving parts as possible. And then, of course, Jackson Pollock liked a lot of movement on his paintings and splatter paintings, you know, and they always had the soul feel of movement. And so now we try to have as many moving parts as possible. We try to attack space, and we talk about space literally all the time. And so if our offense ever looked anything like a Jackson Pollock painting, that's a huge compliment.
Well, you know, Coach, it's funny because I've heard great soccer coaches talk about attacking space and putting the ball into space in that sport. And, you know, I usually just hear, how do we get guys open? I kind of like the way you approach it. So when you were getting started and you look at a leader like Lavelle Edwards, you look at an offensive guru like Norm Chow, how much did you take from those two gentlemen into the style that you coach these days?
Well, a lot. We started, this started clear back in, let me think here, about like in 89, I started going to BYU spring ball all the time and studying and watching what they did. Of course, we watched film on TV. And so I would say that the attacking space thing came directly from BYU. And we have several plays that are similar to, you know, literally what BYU ran back in the golden age. And in then, but also the Wishbone was huge then. Oklahoma was having huge success with the Wishbone, and Air Force was having a lot of success with the Wishbone. And you know, basically the, you know, you have this many skilled players, and let's see how we can make them all touch the ball. Because the Wishbone was great at distribution. And so, you know, and we felt like distribution was important as well. And then, of course, in the end, you pick out the plays that work the best for what you're trying to achieve, in our case, space and distribution, and go from there.
Rick Tittle with Mike Leach, head coach, Washington State. I want to ask you about a couple of guys you had under your wing. Start off with Sonny Dykes, speaking of Cal, and coming into a program that Jeff Tedford really put on the map, had a couple of down years, ended up getting fired. We know about what Dykes can do offensively, a guy who was a receiver coach for you for a long time and an OC. He came in there, only one victory, and it was against a D2 school. The defense, not there. How long does it take for you to get your recruits in? And still, there are some who would say, and I thought, I don't understand how you can come in and only win one game. Did you take a look at Cal at all, and did you see what Sonny Dykes was doing? Because I'm sure you're a fan of his.
Well, we played Cal, you know, and so and there's somebody that's we have to play every year, so we kind of keep an eye on them. But I thought they're a pretty talented group. You know, Cal's got more players in the NFL out of this conference currently than any school except for USC. Mm-hmm. So you know they're going to get talent there, and you know they're going to have a pretty good group. And you know, so we view them as a huge challenge and a team that we want to make sure we play our best against, because they do have a lot of resources as far as recruiting. And then, of course, you know, that type of thing.
I also want to ask you about Dana Holgorsen, a guy who was there with you at Dykes there down in Lubbock. And today he made some headlines in West Virginia saying that, that, quote, this is from CBS Sports, quote, "You lie in recruiting a bunch, that's just part of it. You become a salesman." Now, is this the kind of quote where you kind of say it out of context about maybe telling a kid he's got opportunities to start? And this is the kind of thing that we in the media run with when he says you lie a bunch in recruiting. Now, you know Coach Holgorsen very well. What do you think he was trying to say there?
I don't know, and it's not very accurate. I mean, unless something's changed. I mean, I guess it. I don't know what he said. When he was on my staff, he didn't lie, you know. And I don't know that he lies much now. Dane is almost kind of straightforward to the point where, if he did, he wouldn't be able to pull it off. So I think something's out of context there. I'm sure something's out of context because, you know, I mean, that's entirely out of character within the boundaries of what that quote suggests. There are people that lie out there. I mean, you will run across people that lie. There's no question. But my thought on it has always been, I don't want there to be any surprises. I don't want to coax some kid to come to our place, and then all of a sudden it's not what he thinks it is, and then he ends up leaving. And plus, I'm better off with the guy down the road that was more motivated and wants to be there more, because that guy in the end, through his effort and focus, will probably achieve better than a guy, even if the other guy's a little more talented than he is. And and you know, the whole thing where you get a guy there and it's different, I don't like that. I just flat out tell him when we recruit him, you have to like this place. If you don't like this place, you need to go somewhere else. And, you know, when it comes to facilities right now, heck, I'm not even in a position where I have to lie. We have the best facilities in the Pac-12, you know, and we got the best setup as far as the logistics of taking care of your day. You start in a dorm that's a year and a half old. You walk across the street to the academic center where we're broken the record for highest GPA the last three semesters of football. And then they walk across the sidewalk to that brand-new football operations complex, which we've just moved in, which is the biggest and the best in the Pac-12. and you have the stadium on one side and the practice field on the other, and of course the training table, a big area with two shifts that looks out over the stadium, and then you go up the hill to the student union and all your classes, and everything's right there. So I mean, you know, I think really you kind of sell what you have. And then the other thing is, you know, we've kind of got a bit of a monopoly. There's a lot of variety and location and the quality of the campuses in this conference. You know, but we're the only college town, you know. We're a true college town. And some of the enthusiasm you see, I think, in those SEC towns has to do with the fact that that conference is predominantly college towns. Well, we are a true college town, and anything you do on the field is going to be noticed, and it's going to ignite Washington State and the whole area. And there's also cities in this town where you might play the greatest game of your life, walk two blocks down the street, and they don't even know you had a game. You know? So I think that setting an environment that we have is special, and is something that is, for those that recognize it, is something special to be a part of.
Well, and finally, one more question for you, Mike. I talked to Ernie Kent last month, now the head coach there for the basketball team, about recruiting in Pullman. And I've been to Pullman many times, and we know it is a very small college town. And you got, you know, UW with Seattle, you got Cal and Stanford, you got San Francisco, obviously the LA team. So I said, how do you bring them in outside of the facilities and things like that? And he says he tells recruits that I'm going to be your dad. He tells the parents, I will be your dad. I will make sure you go to class. Because I've always thought when they say about a head football coach, oh, he doesn't graduate his players, I put that onus on the players. You know, you're 18 years old. You got to know to go to class. So especially you got 100 guys on your football team, how much can you keep an eye on them academically and other such ways?
Well, we do a lot. I mean, at Tech, when I was at Tech, we had one of the lowest graduation rates in the country. And when I first got there, we were in the middle of academic probation. And the trouble with being in the middle of academic probation, you're not playing with the guys that got you on probation. We were playing with the guys that you recruited under the cloud of probation. So I was always very proud of my early teams there at Tech. That we went to a bowl each year because, it was with reduced scholarships and, guys that weren't recruited under the best of circumstances. And so then, we made a determined effort that we were going to be great as far as the academic thing went. And in something like three of the last 5 years, we led the nation in graduation rate of all public institutions. There were some private institutions that beat us out, but we beat up every public institution in the country, and we're very proud of that. And we plan to do the same thing here. We were above average. We weren't way down like we were at Tech. We're above average, and so we are making progress. We do, you know, we are breaking the GPA records. We got a ways to go. We got to keep working at it and get a few more classes in, because really you have to get in four or five classes before you're going to be able to tally the graduation rate like you'd like to.
All right, we've been speaking with Mike Leach. Very interesting stuff. And listen, Mike, you know, Wazoo is a program that was kind of down there for a long time, and you took them to a bowl game, and they're back on the map again. So continued success. Thanks for your time, and we look forward to talking to you again down the road someday.
Well, I appreciate your having me on, and I got a book out. It's called Geronimo, Leadership Strategies of an American Warrior. It's in bookstores, and it's on Amazon, and seems to be doing really well, and it's published by Simon & Schuster, and we're excited about that also.
Would you say you're more interested in Native Americans or pirates, Mike?
All the above. It just kind of depends, you know, bounce back and forth a little bit. The pirate stuff's exciting still, too, but, you know, everybody's got an interesting story, and you try to learn and draw as much from it as you can. But for the last year and a half, I've been pretty consumed by Geronimo and the Apaches.
All right. Hey, Coach, thanks for your time. Good luck this season, and we'll talk to you soon.
Well, thanks a lot.
Very good. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break.